and make sure that the veterans in the district and for that matter throughout the nation are taken care of, and that they get the services that they deserve. They served our country. They deserve to get their benefits. And with that, the congressman has also been touring different aerospace companies in the district. One of them was Excelis here in Van Nuys, establishing relationships with those different businesses, corporations. He's doing a push to bring manufacturers into the district, trying to be an advocate to bring jobs into the district. And another one of his priorities is immigration, comprehensive immigration reform. So the congressman has a lot in his agenda, a lot in his plate, and I, as a representative, am here to be his voice in the district. And I don't know if you guys have any questions.
Anyone have questions for Brian?
Yeah.
I understand, and I don't know if you know, but I would like you to check to see if this is correct, but I understand that the VA still has a very archaic computer system, even older than mine was. It still works on the DOS system. And no, has it been updated?
No.
Because it was way old, and that was part of the problem with getting things accomplished.
That's interesting. That's interesting that you mentioned that, Janet. So that was actually one of the things that they talked about. The fact that they're getting new software, right? Technological innovations, everything's moving fast.
Right.
But they don't. The hardware is lacking.
That's what I'm trying to talk about.
The software is there, but the hardware is the one that's not according to what they said. The hardware.
Right.
And the training of employees of employees. Now the congressman is gonna go ahead and with the Veterans Advisory Committee. The congressman has a Veteran Advisory Committee. We're gonna go ahead and do a follow up meeting with the director's administration, and we're gonna go over the report, the audit that came out, the specifics. And I'm sure that the congressman's Veterans Advisory Committee will come out with shovels and lots of questions. So I can guarantee you that it's going to be a productive meeting, and I'll definitely keep you guys updated as to the current events. And if you guys have any questions, you guys know where to reach me. So,
Roland Guevara.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm a veteran, and last February, the 27th of February, belong to the Sepulveda VA. The 27th of February, I went in to get some work on my knees. And this month, I just started to get therapy on my knees. So it took 4 months to get any service. And that's my beef. And there's other things that I have beefs of. And glad to get your card afterwards.
Yeah, of course. You're right. There's a complexity of issues that are going on. But well, definitely we could talk offline. But thank you.
Thank you, Roland. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, guys. All right. 8A, swearing in and seating of Kambit Marabi and Lizette Arzola as Van Nuys Neighborhood Council members. So if I can have you guys come up to the podium, we'll swear you in and you can sit over here. We have two spots.
Yes.
Hi. All right, if you can raise your right hand and repeat after me, I pledge to represent my neighborhood with dignity, integrity, and pride.
I pledge to represent my neighborhood with dignity and integrity and pride.
I will encourage other points of view, even when they differ from my own.
I will encourage other points of view, even when they differ from my own.
I will respect, value, and consider everyone's opinion.
I will respect, value, and consider everyone's opinion.
I will find the good in my neighborhood and praise it and promote it.
I will find the good in my neighborhood and praise it and promote it.
To my neighbors and to neighborhoods throughout the city of Los Angeles, I pledge to do this to the best of my ability.
To my neighbors and my neighborhood throughout the city of Los Angeles, I pledge to do to the best of my ability.
Congratulations, guys. You're Van Nuys Neighborhood Council members. Come on down. Huh? All right. Coming up next, 8B. Now, real quick, Carino, I gave you my word that we would address the Mark Myers issue and then come to the training. Is Mark Myers in the room?
Yeah, he's right here.
Mr. Myers, okay. At the discretion of the chair, I'm doing nothing wrong. We are moving to agenda item 8R. Because Mr. Myers lives in New Mexico or something and has to drive home tonight. So it's 6815 North Noble Avenue, a conditional use wireless telecommunications facility, asking for a letter of support, requesting conditional use for a roof-mounted wireless telecommunications facility, antennas and associated equipment, screen from behind, screen from view behind, three new 10-foot-high concealment enclosures integrated into existing building design. Mr. Chairman, this came out of your committee just fine.
Yes, it did. It went through the process, and we did vote on it, and we supported it.
Very good. Mr. Myers, the floor is yours. If you could brief the council a little bit on this, and we'll vote on your letter of support, sir.
You're a better way to do it.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the council. My name is Mark Myers. I'm with SureSight Consulting, representing AT&T Mobility. As Karina was kind enough to mention, we are proposing the installation and operation of a rooftop wireless facility. In this particular case, it's located at 6815 Noble. It's right at the corner of Van Owen and Noble. It's one of the hospital buildings, or it's one of the buildings on the hospital campus there. It fronts on Van Owen. And to the north and sort of to the west is the hospital, and to the east across the street is the parking structure. I have some photos here if anybody needs to acquaint themselves with it. This particular instance, we are proposing three different rooftop enclosures to completely conceal the antennas that will be installed on the roof of the building. In this particular area, AT&T needs to provide service to an area that's growing in need for capacity, not only to the surrounding areas and businesses and residents, but also to the hospital that's there. And in this particular instance, we're proposing three rooftop enclosures at the northeast corner, at the southeast corner, and at the southwest corner of the building. They aren't as tall as what other portions of the building, but they do extend 10 feet above the existing roof. That's in complete compliance with the City of Los Angeles zoning code for wireless facilities. We comply with everything that's specific and required. I have some more photos here to sort of show those, if I can pass those around. It's 6815 Noble. The associated equipment will also be installed on the roof of the facility. At the center of the facility is where the hospital or this medical building keeps all of its HVAC equipment and other electronic and compatible equipment. We're going to occupy a space that's already behind existing enclosure up there. So in this particular case, the only net change will be the three enclosures for the antennas. In this particular case, it completely complies with the city's ordinance. Like I said, we're just respectfully requesting your support for this, to bring service to this
area. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Myers?
I have one. There seems to be a little confusion around me as to who you are in relation to this. Are you the owner of the land, or are you the contractor, or I'm confused too?
We're the consultant that represents AT&T Mobility.
Okay, so you're the consultant that represents the people that own it. Okay, I got you.
Yes.
AT&T Mobility owns it? All right.
Correct.
Mr. Anand.
You understand, Miriam? Okay.
Well, the antennas, I have some drawings. The antennas will not be visible. It'll just look like an enclosure similar to what's already up there on the building. You'll see some other penthouses and rooftop and concealment areas, and that's what they're designed to match. The antennas themselves, the panels, are 8 feet.
Eight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
To be installed on the roof, on the roof, on
on the roof?
Yeah, the enclosure is actually 10 feet above the roof deck. That's what's permitted by code. And so the antennas are just a little bit shorter than that.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Paul Anand.
Thank you. Point of order. I have Paul a question for you regarding regarding the general look. You have it on these parapets, and you're proposing that the parapets are going to be essentially opened and screens put around the parapets. Is that it, or are they being put on top of those parapets?
Yeah, the hospital's not real keen on us messing with their building too much, so they have very strict requirements as well as OSHA. In this particular case, we're going to leave the parapet alone. It's actually just going to be made to seamlessly incorporate into that.
Okay, and that's going to be that the seamless enclosure, as you put it, will be made out of metal, or it's going to be made to match? Is it going to be white? Is it going to be stainless? What's it going to look like?
It's a fiber-reinforced polymer. It's called FRP for short, if you will. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, it allows the signal to propagate through with minimal loss. It's a UL-listed, rated material. It does have to go through plan check and everything else. It'll be finished and look just like...
But it's going to be an FRP. Doesn't that get, like, UV? Isn't that going to get all faded and distorted and stuff with the sun?
No more than any other material.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, it's as long as it's a... Because I know FRP comes
not
in various sizes. You're just talking about like a white FRP, plain and
yeah, pretty much the building itself maintains sort of a plain white finish, a smooth finish. And so the rooftop enclosures is kind of what they wanted us to sort of mimic there. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we're taking on. So that's plain, smooth finish.
Oh, okay.
It has some scoring in it, pretty much is it.
Sorry, basically you won't be able to see it from the street.
Nope. Won't be able to see the antennas, that's correct.
That's perfect.
Any other objections or questions from the council? Miriam?
Yes, I have a question for
you. Okay, very good.
How is this going to make my mobility better? Because I'm an ATT mobility customer.
It'll provide you service in an area that now is realizing some loss and some drop calls along there and along Van Owen. There is an established service there, but in this particular case, due to the high demand... it's experiencing a lot of drop calls and stuff, so this will allow you to continue seamless, uninterrupted coverage.
How much radius does it cover?
She's a good person, but
well, every site's a little bit different. It depends
Miriam,
on the topography. It depends on the buildings that are there.
Let's vote on this, and then you can ask him all the okay. questions in the world. Anybody else have anything for Mark Myers?
Thank you.
Thanks, cool.
Yes. Of course you can, miss.
I don't know that there are any schools in the vicinity at all. It's primarily the hospital building.
There's a school.
Further down to the north. Wireless has been placed at schools specifically. It's not an issue in that regard. Not with the school, because we're well beyond that distance.
There is, really? Because there is one right across the street.
It looks like it's right across the street.
Van Owen, I think?
Yes, there is one.
Perhaps, like I said, we did send it into the city, and they review those things,
yeah,
and we
yeah,
met all their minimum requirements.
No, this is a separate
yeah.
No, I know.
It's
yeah.
Just
yeah.
A
yeah. Yeah, well, they, yeah, yeah.
3 years old.
In this particular case, as part of our application, we had to notify everyone within a 500-foot radius. And not only in this particular case of the subject building, which is the only property, but we went around the entire hospital, which was at their request. So we notified over 1,200 people in this regard, and that's owners and occupants.
Without objection, I make a motion that we support the... project at 68-15 North Noble.
Seconded.
I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Ms. Jeanette Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Aye.
Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Skelton. Mr. Kamara?
Yes.
Mr. Waleko?
Yes.
Mr. Anand?
Aye.
Mr. De La Cuesta?
Yes.
Ms. Patton?
Yes.
Mr. Lynn?
No.
Okay. Mr. Luna?
Aye.
Mr. Marabi?
Yes.
And Ms. Arzola? Yes. Okay, it passes.
Very good. What's the, are you, is this time sensitive, Mr. Myers?
It is. We've been scheduled for hearing July 14th.
Okay, so usually awesome. Carino will write up the letter and I, we'll get it to you on our letterhead. Is the end of the week fine?
That's
Q, we can do that by the end of the week?
You can have a couple weeks. It's no problem at all. So, no problem at all.
Yeah. Cool.
We've been in communication.
I would do it in a week.
Perfect.
Thank
you
very
thank
much.
You. Thank you, Mark Myers.
Thank
very
you
good.
Moving it up as well. Have a good evening.
No worries, sir. Okay, very good. Training the entire board in all new policies and procedures. Done staff. 4.5 hours. Let's get into it.
I'm going to need a little more time in that.
Amber Meshack, good to see you.
Good to see you all as well. And I know that I had come here before to train and the mission got aborted, but I did distribute the training materials. So I brought a few, but I didn't think everyone wanted to kill trees. So, you know, if anyone wants to review the materials while I'm talking, I have some. But I can also email them to you if you prefer that, or just, I think most of you probably have your packets at home. So do you want me to distribute the material? Okay, thank you. We're 8B?
Yes. I believe that. So Amber, will this we're doing the funding and the ethics training right now?
No, the funding and the ethics training were held April 26th.
Okay.
And those are conducted by the funding staff and the City Attorney, Office of City Attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're right, and they're available online as well. This training is really designed to be an introduction to new board members. I know a lot of you are experienced, but actually, as we've been doing the trainings across the city, we're finding that more of the questions are actually coming from the experienced board members because you have real life, you know, experience and situations to reflect on. So I'll try to move through the training as quickly as possible, but I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to ask questions. And, you know, just to serve as a neighborhood council board member, there's so much information that you need to know. And so in no way is this going to be...
Well, can I point of order? I'm sorry. Thank you for coming. Sorry, yes. Right over here. Thank you for coming. I appreciate your time.
No problem.
And I know this is the second time we've tried to do this, but looking at the agenda and how long it is and how pressing some of the issues are, I don't know if this would be better served at a special meeting where we show up specifically just for this, as opposed to adding this hour and a half in addition to, I mean, 2 pages of an agenda.
Amber, how fast can you get through this?
I think it depends on how thorough you want me to be. I mean, I can give you the quick and dirty, but I think you do have new board members. I mean, I think that is fine. Initially, the whole purpose of us offering to do it at your regular board meetings was so that you wouldn't have to schedule extra meetings. I'm fine to deliver it at a special meeting if that's your preference. So, I defer to the board, because if you feel like that we can do it at a special meeting and you'll have more opportunity to ask questions and interact and, you know, you'll get more out of it.
Would you be able to come and train us at our retreat?
When is that going to be?
It will probably be in the next 2 months. On a Saturday?
It depends on the day. I can try to coordinate with you. And if not, I mean, I think, I think that's fine. I think the only problem with that is for your new board members. I
you know. It's I defer to you. It's your decision as a board.
Can we do it in 30 minutes?
We can do something in 30 minutes. I don't know how complete we'll be.
This is a clarifying question.
Yes. You know what? It's not mandatory. Obviously, the new board members are going to have the least familiarity with the information and the materials. But honestly, like I said, I found that the experienced board members have benefited just as much, if not more, because of policy changes, updates, real life experiences that they've had where they weren't sure how to maneuver it. So, again, I defer to the board, but I don't want to put it off too long because of your new board and all the issues that are facing you. You're dealing with, as Ms. Hopp mentioned, the transition to the new checking account system and changes that are coming from the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners, et cetera, et cetera. So it's up to you.
She's here, you guys. So
it might be good to do at the end of our meeting. That way we can have a little discretion on advancing quickly through the agenda, and
how much time do you have? Can you?
Because this is also, the stakeholders. The training is for the board, so we should be the ones that stay here late, not the stakeholders.
It depends on how late. It depends on how late. I'm not going to start the training at 9:30 or not really.
Well, no, I don't think that's fair to you either.
Right.
I think so. It would be beneficial if we could just go through the agenda, but stay on point.
I have no objection to whatever the council comes up with. So you guys decide. Okay, let's do a straw poll. And if you guys want to do the training now, we'll do it now. If you want to start the training at a set time, like say 9 o'clock, we'll do that.
An hour.
It's 8:23.
Oh, that's fast. Sorry.
So
let's start at 9 o'clock.
Do we have an objection to starting the training at 9 o'clock?
But she said she don't want to.
I can start at 9.
Start at 9:30. Do we have any objection to starting the training at 9 o'clock?
I have no idea.
No, you are definitely welcome, Miriam. Okay, and Miriam's running for a stake at large. So, Carino, yes, sir.
I know I let some of the Plum agenda to let them know that, to show up later. If we extend a little bit farther, they're going to have to wait more if the agenda item goes to S&T or something. They would have to wait even further. That's my concern. I know that this tonight's going to be a really long one.
Why don't we do it in a special meeting? Like an executive meeting.
All right, so the vote right now is going to be a straw poll, whether we're doing the training now, whether we're doing it at 9 o'clock, or whether we're doing it some other time.
Well, I would say that you don't have the vote on setting a special meeting for this on your agenda. So, I think you can discuss it and decide and schedule one later, but I wouldn't,
Okay, we do have a speaker card in on 8B, so let's hear from stakeholder Richard Hopp. Mr. Hopp, you have 2 minutes, sir.
I find the conduct somewhat outrageous.
Vote.
This needs to be done at a special meeting. You have two administrative proceedings that are very important tonight, especially removal of a board member, and you're going to try training now. Things need to be focused on. There's a due process issue tonight that is going to be happening, and that's why I'm here, and several other people are here. They want to know if due process is going to occur or not. And you're worried about training? I find it very outrageous. Thank you.
George? Yes, Maria.
I think, in all fairness, she keeps coming back and forth, and I think it should be when she says that she's available, not when we are available. She keeps coming back and forth, so let her tell us whether if she can make it on a Thursday, if she can make it on a Saturday, what's going to benefit her instead of trying to benefit us?
Well, my job is to, work around your schedules as much as I can, but of course, you know, we are staff, we have limits. Ideally, you know, when we come and do these trainings, it is, like I said, to help you avoid having to do a special meeting, but at that same time, we ideally suggest that there's not too many other agenda items on the same agenda. So
would you have an objection to coming back to, we'll do a special meeting, an executive meeting slash training, and hopefully all of the council can be there for it, on Monday, July 7th?
What day of?
Monday.
I mean, July what?
7th. 6:30?
Was that the first Monday or the second?
That is going to be the first Monday in July.
I have other council meetings that night, so that's the issue, is just scheduling it. You know, I'm willing to accommodate, but at the same time, I know certain nights I'm committed. So,
what about Wednesday, July 16th?
Why don't we just do this offline? Because I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Okay. Well, how about 10 minutes of, hi, what's going on downtown? Amber, how are you? Good to see you again.
Hello.
What's going on at the Dunn offices?
Well, actually, I don't work downtown anymore. I work right next door, so okay. I don't know.
Oh, right. Yay! I didn't know that. I'm so happy.
But, so, I mean, I think you're probably aware of most of the critical changes. The incoming checking account system is major. And also I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. So the board vote count form is something that, you know, Ms. Hopp has explained is required, and that was a funding policy that was created by our general manager. However, at the same time, unbeknownst to us, the California State Legislature was amending the Brown Act, which is, you know, the California State rule regarding how public bodies have to conduct meetings. Mm-hmm. And so they also, the Brown Act now requires that each agenda item, that each person's vote on each agenda item be recorded. So just as you have to take the roll call vote on, let me explain it. You don't have to actually take the roll call vote. You have to record each person's vote, but I just want to clarify, it does not necessarily have to be done in a roll call format. It should be done in whatever format is easiest for your secretary to record. But for example, in the interest of time, if you wanted to say, you know, all those in favor of a given motion, and Mr. Hendry recorded that, all those opposed, he recorded those persons, and then all those abstaining, that would be permissible. You're not required to do it in roll call format. It's just that you have to record the names. So if that's what's easiest for him, then I suggest you continue to do that and use the board vote count form as a template. Yeah. Yes, sir.
We could make a motion, something would be unanimous in case.
Right, exactly. So if something's unanimous, you definitely don't have to take a board, you know, vote count. So I'm just making sure that in the interest of time, you can do what's easiest for you.
So just to clarify, you said that we can take a vote, everyone for all in favor can raise their hand, and then you can record at one time the names of people who are raising their hands.
Right.
So we can go a little quicker.
Exactly.
I see.
So I'm just saying that the roll call process isn't required, but the recording of each person's vote is what's required. So is that clear?
The best way to record each person's vote is roll call it, though.
Right.
Unless it's unanimous.
Right. Well, given the fact that you have such a large board, it may be just logistically easier and more, you know, so that you don't run into problems like you kind of were discussing earlier with how votes were recorded for the community impact statement. Exactly.
Do we want to try that out tonight so we can go faster?
It's up to the secretary.
A couple more things I just want to say, especially for your new folks. They may not realize that there is no longer a grace period for taking the ethics and funding trainings. So you need to do those as quickly as possible in order to be eligible to vote on funding matters. They're both required to vote on funding matters. And yeah, and if you, I can give you information later on how to do. Do I have their contact information?
Not the new ones. I will email you their emails and loop everyone in. So
okay.
Anyone have any questions?
I just handed Amber Kathleen. She did it, so she's official. Pardon me, for the ethics training.
Very good.
So that's done.
Does anybody else have any questions for Amber? Going once. Yes, Candido.
Thank you, Mr. President. There was a question about Mr. Camara and Mr. Guevara, and who was the gentleman that used to be in charge of this? From your department?
Thomas Sung. Okay, very good.
Oh, okay. I'm not aware of that, but it should be on the website. The Empower LA website is where we keep the lists of everyone's training status on your roster. Let me say one more thing. I'll keep it quick, but I think it's important for new board members, and also I'm finding that some of the more experienced board members are also not aware of the way in which the Public Records Act works. Have any of you received Public Records Act requests, or are you aware of them?
We've received.
I'm sure you have, right? But a couple of points that I think are critical to understand, especially for new board members. So the California Public Records Act request, again, applies to all, you know, government bodies in the state of California. It's analogous to the Federal Freedom of Information Act. It says that any member of the public can request any record having to do with neighborhood council business. So that a record is, you know, minutes, agendas, emails, computer files, audio, video. It can be any format. So that's one thing that's extremely important to understand. But another thing that's extremely important to understand about the PRA is that it can be in writing, but it doesn't have to be. It can be verbal. So, and the person does not have to identify it as a Public Records Act request. They may not even know that that's what they're asking for. But for example, you know, you all were at the community cleanup, what was it, a couple weeks ago. If someone came up to you and said, you know, hey, Ms. Hopp, I'm confused about what you guys voted on at the last meeting, or, you know, what you authorized in the last budget. I want all the budgets from the last 4 years. You've just been served with a Public Records Act request, and the entire board is responsible for responding to that within 10 days, but you can't wait 10 days because you need to contact our office and work with us and the offices of the city attorney before you respond. So that, I just want you to know, each board member is individually responsible for responding, and then the board, the board is collectively responsible for responding. So because it's so time critical and because the legal ramifications are pretty serious, what we recommend is that every neighborhood council appoint a custodian of records who is basically the person who administers the records request. So meaning when any person on the board gets a Public Records Act request, you immediately forward to the custodian of records. The custodian of records immediately contacts us and the Office of City Attorney, and we start to gather the records, and we have to review them before you can respond to your stakeholder. Or it doesn't even have to be a stakeholder, any member of the public. The other thing that's important to know about Public Records Act requests and custodian of records is that the Public Records Act request only applies to records that exist, right? So using that same example, if your member of your public asks for, you know, budgets going back to the last 4 or 5 years, but you have a records retention policy where you only keep your budgets on file for 2 years, then that's all you have to supply. You don't have to create records that don't exist in order to respond. So don't do that. So therefore, it's very important that one of the things that the board does is pass its own records retention policy and decide how long you are going to keep various records. And so the only reason I'm mentioning this is, A, in case you get a public records request between now and when we have the training, and B, so that you can agendize establishing a custodian of records and or your records retention policy, you know, as soon as possible. And so I'll take one question from the board, a couple of questions for the board, and then, let me do the board first and then the stakeholders. Okay. You, sir?
Oh, okay. Well, I just had one quick question that wasn't related to the Brown Act.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of administrative issues that were brought up for this meeting, mm-hmm. by Mr. Hopp. And I was wondering what is the proper process if you're going to have something like that where you're going to, like, vote to possibly remove a board member? Is it something that should be going to to committee, and then they should come up with a recommendation, and then it should be coming out, or is it something that, that you just bring to the direct board, or what's the...
Well, one of the things that I discuss in the training is that a lot of the exact type of questions that you're asking, because of the way the system was set up for neighbor councils to be so autonomous, those processes don't really exist. It's up to each neighborhood council to design that their own process within the framework of their bylaws, right? So, but I will say that whenever the potential removal of a board member is at issue, the board is required to consult with the Office of City Attorney before taking action. So that's really the only like hard and fast rule about how to process it. Some groups do like a, you know, a panel review, a committee review. You know, there's different ways you can do it, but you definitely must consult with the Office of City Attorney first.
Okay, and then just one follow up to that. So any standing rules or any of those types of things would those have to be in the bylaws, like censure or.
Well, standing rules are specifically not in the bylaws. Standing rules are decisions, processes, operations that the board can adopt at any time, as long as you agendize them. And the difference between a standing rule and a bylaw is that bylaws have to come to our department and be approved. Standing rules you can adopt and change at will as a board. The bylaws are kind of, again, using analogies, the bylaws are kind of like the constitution of your board, where you don't want to make it so easy to change it all the time. And then the standing rules are more meant to be practical ways for you to implement your day-to-day operations.
Okay. So, like, for example, in our bylaws, we have no section for censure. It was left.
And you're not required to. But if that's something that, you know, stakeholders are asking for, you know, then you just have to decide whether you want to adopt a process or just say, we don't have a process. Mr. Benjamin?
Yeah. There is a form on the Dunn website, empowerla.org, for a board roster. On that roster list, we need your name, your board position, your home address, not to be shared with the public, your home telephone number, not to be shared with the public, your email address, not to be shared with the public,
and
your board email address and the board phone number, that all 19 members of this board are present right now. This needs to be filled out immediately, and sent into Empower LA so that our board roster is correct, and that individuals who are no longer present on this board are not listed on our website and on the Dunn website.
Can we do it online?
It cannot be done online.
It has to be
filed with the secretary, and the secretary has to forward it to Dunn immediately.
Do we have the forms tonight?
I can forward you the forms if you don't have it.
No, can we just go ahead? I think Howard has a good point. If while we're conducting business, if what he just said is on a couple sheets of paper and we pass it down the roll and just get it over with.
You need to, it's an Excel, it's a, well.
We can fill out the Excel form if we have the proper information.
So you're going to do the data input?
Okay.
Then yes, I actually have the blank form for you.
Thank you.
To fill out.
All right.
Bravo.
Is it okay if I take a question from stakeholders?
Of course, from Candy. Of course, it's okay. You're recognized.
Well, first of all, Mr. Benjamin did a great question, and I think that's the kind of question we need from our board members. I want to make sure I hear you. As I asked right now, you said that if I ask Mr. George Thomas, Mr. Howard Benjamin, Mr. Joseph Lazarus, and Ms. Patton for all emails for the last 2 weeks, or excuse me, for 2 months, I can ask for them as just in verbal content, saying I'd like to have that brought to my...
Well, you know, you can ask for anything you want. I mean, it's like suing. You can sue anybody for anything you want. It doesn't mean you're going to win.
Call it a public records act. I can just ask.
Right. You don't have to specify. You, the requester, does not have to identify your request as a PRA. You don't have to. You don't even have to know that there's such a thing as a PRA. Any request for information pertaining to neighborhood council business is automatically a Public Records Act request, and you must treat it as such. I mean, okay, you can make that request. I would suggest, just to, in interest of getting what you're looking for, the more, even though you're not required to, the more specific you can be in making that request, the better.
If you don't mind, I'd like to defer to the expert on this. Mr. Hopp, is this something that's true? Has there been a change in this, or does it have to be in writing? Could you please clarify?
Point of order. I'm sorry. Nothing against you, Mr. Hopp, but is she not the authority figure on the expert on the matter?
I would like to hear from Mr. Hopp on this, and I'm the chair of the council, so if it pleases the council, Mr. Hopp, you're recognized. Has there been a change in this?
No problem. Answering as an amicus, that's not a problem. The issue at hand, unfortunately, which last name?
Nishak.
Ms. Nishak has misinformed the board. If the issue is, if it's done verbally and it's not responded, there's no enforceability. The only enforceability is if it's done in writing. Second issue that she failed to state is if you have control of it, of the Public Records Act, I mean a public record, as in the city attorney's has a copy of the public record, but you've not retained it, it's your duty under something versus the city of National in California that you're required to obtain that for them. The Public Records Act request is very complicated, and doing a 10-minute dance on it, doesn't really help. The best person to always ask is a gentleman named Michael Dundas down at the city attorney's office. He knows how to do it, and he knows how to do it properly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Richard.
That's incorrect. A verbal request is absolutely a PRA, and your counsel, your legal counsel as board members, is the office of the city attorney. You can talk to your friends. You can talk to your friends down at the city attorney's office. Ms. Alois Phillips is your assigned legal counsel, and she will advise you as I have.
Thank you, Amber, very much. I will get a clarification from the city attorney for the board, and we will move from there. Does anybody else have anything for Ms. Meshack? Going once. Going twice. So, Amber, I'll send you an email, and we'll see if we can schedule another training session. Maybe we can do the retreat. We can do it at the retreat. Moving on, 8C, the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council light pole banners procedure for replacement. We allocated $2,500 a couple months ago. We had a briefing at our executive committee meeting from the nice gentleman that's in charge of this. I think his name is Scott Greenwald. The VNNC to address two separate estimates for replacing the banners. If you guys haven't seen, the banners are looking pretty bad out there. Some of them were torn down. We do have the right to fill in, to file the permits and have them again. The two separate estimates that we got, one is for having a banner every third light pole, and then one is for having a banner every other light pole. When we originally did this, long before I was on the board, it cost the council $18,000 to put all those banners up. I'm happy to open this up for discussion. I myself will be supporting the every third light pole banner, and that estimate, which will probably be just about $5,000, $2,500, which we've already allocated. So does anybody have any discussion or debate on this? Let's start with Mr. Luna.
If we're going to go ahead and do this, I think we should choose the most affordable option. I think this is a great branding measure, but there's no way to verify the efficacy of it. I don't know what we're buying for $2,500 or $5,000. We're buying some banners. I don't know how many people have that's directly related to their participation in this proceedings. So if five people saw the banner and decided to come in, we're spending $1,000 per head to get some outreach. I know that we voted on it, but since we voted on it, I say that we get the most affordable option.
Anybody else have any questions or comments on this? Paul Anand.
You know, that's a great point. I definitely agree with that. The big question that was raised there was cost, like CPI, like cost cost per head to bring people in. And there's been quite a few options, like even at the DMV putting the signage up or other types of signs. Have we looked at other signage other than on the light pole itself as an option?
Anybody else have anything on this? Mr. Waleko?
No, I agree with Mr. Luna.
Maria, yeah, you're recognized.
I know we're trying to save. So every third pole is X amount of dollars.
I have the estimate right here. Every third pole is $4,651.25.
Okay.
Which would be 61 poles in Van Nuys.
So would it be a little cheaper if we do every fifth pole?
We hadn't considered that, Maria.
Okay.
Just real quick, every other poll is $5,998.40, so almost $6,000. Candido.
Mr. President, personally, I'm opposed to the polls. I think we can spend the money better, and I think some of the things that we can do, and even though I've had disagreements, there's no one that works harder than Penny Myers. And I was a little sad that she didn't get the credit for what she did in the last month because, again, we disagree, but she did she organized the cleanup. She was there for the what it called. So if we use the money and had like a committee to really see how we can impact the community, I think it could be better spent by having those dollars allocated so there could be more outreach than just putting up poles. And, that's a lot of money for poles. I think we can do more outreach.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
I say that we call for the vote for every third poll.
Very good. So the estimates before the board are every third poll is $4,651.25. Every other poll is $5,998.40. I, just for the sake of doing everything properly, would say we hold a vote on both of the... Yeah, hold on. So the first one is for 61 poles for 465125. The second one's going to be for 92 poles for $5,998.40. Also keep in mind this includes the permit fees and the reprinting of the banners.
Which, by the way, should have been $997, I believe.
It's part of it. And we've already allocated $2,500 from this fiscal year's budget. So, yes, the motion, I'm proposing a motion for the first vote to support or vote yay or nay on 61 polls costing $4,651.25. What is it?
$8,254.71,
he said. Ooh. A third of our money. Okay, so then...
Well, we've already allocated $2,500 now.
Please excuse what I said, because it was with the permit fees and the rest, single wings, the whole bit. Okay, so the new estimate is for the 92 poles, it's going to be $11,154.66. And for the 61, polls, it's, Howard, how much?
$8,254.71.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Parliamentary inquiry?
Yes.
Is there, because I don't know Robert's rules well enough, is there a way to reverse the decision that we made at a previous meeting?
Yes, you can.
All we did was just vote $2,500 to address this issue, was all that it was.
My question is, I think we could just kill the banners altogether. I'd make a motion, if I knew how, I'd make a motion to reverse that and send this back to the committee, either the outreach committee or the executive committee.
Well, I'm happy to...
I have a comment, please.
Yes, Jeanette.
If we were to skip the side streets and just do Van Nuys, and, oh yeah, that's a major thoroughfare too, Sepulveda, okay, whichever, and do it every third poll, as you said. We have $2,500 already allocated. That makes it less than $5,000 for the remainder. And we need to do something to spruce up Van Nuys and bring it back to some kind of beautification, you know, and we do know that Eric, our city's gonna give us some money for that, and perhaps maybe we can get him to take up the rest. But the bottom line is we need to improve our image. And I have to tell you, I went over and saw what it looked like on Laurel Canyon when they did theirs, and I was so impressed. It looks so great. Why can't we do the same thing?
Let's hear from the honorary mayor of Van Nuys.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. I think you have to understand one thing about the banners is they do work 24 hours a day. All right? You're not going to be over here at an event and how many people see that event and it's for 4 hours or 6 hours. But I think that the biggest thing that you should really be targeting is intersections, because everybody sits at an intersection. So if you were to do Victory and Sepulveda, Victory and Van Nuys, same thing with Van Owen, Sherman Way, work every major intersection within the boundaries of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council, especially along the Orange Line, I think it would be a tremendous benefit at that point, because you've got people stopping at the Orange Line down here, and it's a major intersection, they're waiting for lights. Same thing, even if you were to go down, all the way down to Burbank Boulevard, where a lot of people come into the area. That's my suggestion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's a very good suggestion. If it pleases the council, I would like to table this, throw it back into committee, and then look at the mayor's suggestion of targeting the intersections and the major streets along the Orange Line. I think that is absolutely genius, and he has my vote when he runs for mayor again. So does that please... the council, do we have any objections to that? Maria.
I have a question, and I know, I hope you remember, Howard. If not, I could look it up again. Do anybody remember, and I know I'm the one that brought it to the board, and I should really remember, or I can make a call on it, how much it was to advertise for the DNV?
It was a lot of money.
That somebody got a quote, and I don't know where they got that quote from. A matter of fact, not calling out names, but just being honest. Paul, I think you misquoted when you said how much it was for to advertise at the DNV, because when I got the quote, we were getting a government discount. We were getting a government discount, and you said when you had called for 7-Eleven that they quoted you a different price. So when I called back, they said, no, you're whatever, who told you that was wrong, but we were getting a state or something discount. That's why.
I don't think that was me. I'm not sure who you were talking to about that.
Yeah, it was, because you said you called for 7-Eleven.
Okay, well, we can address the DMV quotes at another time. We do have a full agenda.
7-Eleven at the DMV, because I wouldn't do that. 7-Eleven corporate would be in charge of all advertising.
Okay.
Very good. So if it pleases the council, we're going to table this. Do we have any committee that we want to refer this to? Paul, would you mind spearheading this?
Okay, no problem.
Put it on your agenda for next week?
Yes, no problem.
Yes, Candido. No, that has already been allocated. So
would
we are
go to planning? Plum committee?
No.
I think the plum committee is saturated with stuff, and that Paul's committee would be great for this as it's government affairs type of thing.
Yeah.
And I think the honorary mayor of Van Nuys had an absolutely great idea targeting the intersections and along the Orange Line. Yeah. And if it pleases the council, we will table this and move on. Very good. Thank you, guys. Next up, 8D, Van Nuys Neighborhood Council, receipt 1051, the October, November, and December monthly expenditure reports. Basically, I told Merlo that I would put this on the agenda so we could address this. Madam Treasurer and Mr. Second Signatory, can we have this done, or what's our status on this?
As I mentioned earlier, I've been working on it hot and heavy, and I talked to Amber Meshack, and she mentioned a way that we could resolve the issue of the missing ones, that they can't go back longer than 90 days. And as I said, I spoke to the manager of the FedEx Kinko's and also to customer service and somebody higher up, the area manager, and all of them said the exact same thing. They don't keep a receipt longer than 90 days in their system unless it's a cash one or unless it was an online kind of thing. Otherwise,
so
if
can
it's
we
a credit card
email
or whatever, it's 90 days and that's it.
So will you put that in an email to Merlo?
I did, and he sent back one. I brought it with me. He wasn't happy with that response. He thinks I'm prevaricating. So I tried to get a letter from the manager at Kinko's, and he said, I have no letterhead because I've never had to write a letter. He's only been there 2 months. Some of his employees were improperly trained, and they gave misinformation causing this whole thing in the first place. And then Dunn never said that they needed separate receipts like that in addition to the statement until months after the fact. So I have it all and then some now.
So can we have you email Merlo tomorrow?
Yes,
and
I will do that
Howard
again.
And
I'm going to have Amber help me with that because she did say she had a means by which to have us take care of that.
Very good. Please loop her in on the email so it shows that she got it too. Very good. Thank you very much. Moving on, 8E, discussion and vote on the reimbursement of Jeanette Hopp for $100.26 for office supplies and copies being made on behalf of the VNNC. Did you submit receipts and stuff on that?
Yes.
And it got out of your committee just fine?
Yes. And it was from November of last year. And
okay,
it sat on and sat on and sat on, and it got sent back, and I really don't know why.
Well, the wheels of government turn slowly. So yeah. With that, I make a motion that we adopt 8E as is, and we vote to reimburse the treasurer $100.26. I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
Is this one you want to start the unanimous call for, perhaps?
If it's going to be a unanimous vote, and you can just go through and do check marks on that, that would be perfect. Do we have any objections to 8E? Going once.
Why don't we just do the yeas and nays or raise the hands?
Yeah. No, it's quicker to say no objections.
It actually is, but I mean, they're.
Why don't we discuss how we're going to vote on it for the next 10 minutes? Are there any objections to adopting 8E as is?
Some people may want to abstain.
All right, so let's have the yeas and the nays, Mr. Secretary. Why don't we just do the tally vote then?
Okay, people could also volunteer whether they wanted to abstain, but yes, okay. I was looking for, it had been suggested as a solution, so. Okay.
All those who raise your hand, and then he'll take the tally.
Let's just do the board tally vote, and we will come up with how we're going to vote next time at the executive meeting. So just the vote, please, Mr. Secretary.
Okay. President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Secretary Hendry, aye. Mr. Hopp, Ms. Hopp. Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Ms. Havard. Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara.
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, well, there was an abstain, okay. Ms. Skelton?
Yes.
Mr. Kamara?
Yes.
Mr. Malacco?
Yes.
Mr. Anand?
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta?
Yes.
Ms. Patton?
Yes.
Mr. Lynn?
No.
Okay. Mr. Luna?
Aye.
Mr. Marabi?
Yes.
Ms. Arzola?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay.
Very good. Moving on. 8F, establish procedure for reimbursements of council members and process thereof. Paul, I hate to hit you with a bunch of stuff next week for your committee, but do you mind taking this and reporting back to us?
Okay, no problem.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to table this. We're going to put it through Paul's Government Affairs Committee, and we will get a report back next month on the procedure for reimbursements. Next up, 8G, reimburse Vice President Howard Benjamin $21.78 and resubmit the previous paperwork that was rejected by Dunn a few months back.